greetings. It gives me great pleasure to introduce to you this week's gift giver, Dean Naylor. Dean served as the vice president for the waterless car wash company, EnviroTech International, that I spoke about back in volume 29. As Courtney and my waterless car wash business began to grow, we had more opportunities to interact with the company officers and be able to tap into them as resources to learn from, to grow from, and continue to expand our sales organization. Dean Naylor was larger than life, and not because he stood over 6 feet tall and had big hands and a wonderful billowing laugh, and it wasn't because of his already overwhelming success that he and his wife, Lenny, had experienced in a previous direct selling company. It was that Dean Naylor could say to you exactly what you needed to hear to see the world differently that would serve you better. And he could say it so it stuck. There was no misunderstanding, and he always made you feel good about being hit with a hammer. The velvet hammer was Dean Naylor. I remember the first time I went to Dean with growing pains I was experiencing in Courtney and our business. I explained to him it should have been in three-part harmony with the soft shoe dance and lights and pyrotechnics, why I, as a young man, only 25 years old, with no track record of success in business, basically how I was having a hard time attracting new people and new distributors into our sales organization because I was too young and too inexperienced, so therefore it was just never going to work. After listening to my rant for several minutes, Dean looked me in the eye and said, "People will only see you as young and inexperienced as you see yourself. Therefore, to help you see yourself a little older and a little more experienced, I'm going to begin calling you Mr. Vitale, and that's what I'm going to do to help you." And then he went on to say, "Mr. Vitale, you've spent several minutes of my time explaining all the challenges and obstacles that you face, and I must say you've made a wonderful, wonderful accounting of things that you're up against. Mr. Vitale, I've told you what I'm going to do to help you. I'm curious what you're going to do to help you." And from that point forward, I was always Mr. Vitale. And from that point forward, I always walked away from a conversation with Dean where I saw the world a different way in a matter of mere minutes of being with Dean. I remember the conversation when I told Dean that something was too expensive. He said, "Mr. Vitale," he said, "let's face the real truth. You just can't afford it." I remember the conversation where I told him, "I hate paying my bills." And he said, "Mr. Vitale, let me get this straight. You hate decreasing your liabilities and increasing your assets?" I remember complaining to Dean about something being hard. And he said, "Mr. Vitale, you're suggesting that you won't get what you want because it's hard, or you can't do what you need to do because it's hard? Good thing you're not a scientist looking for a cure for a disease." I remember justifying the debt that I had created for Courtney, and I said, "Dean, everybody has debt." And he said, "Mr. Vitale, only the people that believe that everyone has debt has debt." And I remember justifying to Dean my "I don't care, I don't need to care about anything" attitude by saying, "Ignorance is bliss." And Dean said, "Mr. Vitale, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance leads to destitution and destruction." And while all these life-changing moments with Dean sound like very serious moments indeed, and they were, but you have to imagine Dean, hands crossed in front of him, eyes bright and warm, staring right at you with a big grin and a little chuckle at the end of his statement, knowing that he was absolutely right. And without a doubt, you knew it too. And in that instance, you saw the world a different way, and therefore, immediately, in some way, were a different person, and you left Dean knowing that you indeed could do different things. The gift that Dean gave to me was not only telling me what I needed to hear versus what I wanted to hear, he also gave me the gift of making sure that I heard it and remembered it, the gift of delivery. We live in a world where there is no shortage of people that can do the first part of that equation and tell people what they need to hear versus what they want to hear. But there is a lack of emphasis on developing the ability of delivering the right message in the right way. This ability, this art of delivery, is the difference between a manager and a leader, the difference between a trainer and a coach, the difference between a lecture and a lesson. For Dean, it was an ounce of sarcasm with an ounce of smart aleck that came off humorous and very helpful, mixed in with a whole lot of truth, and often pointed at you in the form of a question. But of course, there is no one means of good delivery. We find our ability to develop a skillful art of delivery as we watch and learn from those who are skillful at it. We take a little bit of personality and style from this person and mix it with a little bit of personality and style from that person, and we try out that package and see how it fits, how it works. What are the results from our delivery? You can't script delivery. It's kind of like learning to ride a bicycle. You can read a lot of books and talk with a lot of people about how to ride a bike, but until you get on that bike, being able to ride a bike is impossible. So thanks, Dean, for helping me see so many things in so many different ways by always making sure that I heard what I needed to hear, not what I wanted to hear, and in turn, giving me the appreciation, the understanding, the gift of delivery. And thank you for listening. And never forget, you're a gift. Happy days.